I had a lemonade. They had a little one single hard lemonade on a 101-degree day. That was my grave error. Because people looked at me askance. Oh, I thought he stopped drinking. And I didn't intend to have more than one. But all I had was one. And after that, I was like, never again. I'm never going to let people judge me. I'm never going to let them look at me and say, oh, he's drinking again. So that was 5 years ago, and I haven't touched it since, right? Drugs, done. Within a couple of weeks, smoking, done. Smoking kind of hung on. Other things changed. My understanding of the scriptures, overnight, radically altered. Radically altered. All of a sudden, it was boom. Boom. So, to me, and sorry I say so much, but to me, that was very testimonial to the power of God entering into my life, and it changed me. Now, other people, I understand they're going to remain skeptical. Remain skeptical. Remain skeptical. I only pray that the same thing could happen to you. Because believing in my experience isn't going to do you any good. That's the thing. I'm not telling it to you so that you would believe my experience, but that you would seek to have the Holy Spirit for yourself. And also that you would know, hey, you know what? I prayed for 10 years for the Holy Spirit and never got anything. And then one day, when I hardly even believed it was going to happen, it happened. And I can't, one way or the other, declare to you exactly why it was the way it was. Though I could guess for reasons, and I could think of a lot of good reasons. Those 10 years taught me patience. Seeing that I could wait so long for the Holy Spirit and then get it. And I realized that if you wait and persist, and what if I had persisted, what if I had, what if I had done things differently during those 10 years and sought it with a different mindset? And my wife immediately wanted to have the Holy Spirit. What happened? It took like 2 years. But honestly, she'd felt much more comfortable in her walk because God had already given her a lot of victory over sin. And her sins were, compared to mine, very minor. Very minor. Compared to the things that I was ravaging my life. So I say, seek that. And you look in the thing. Jesus told them, he blew on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Before they actually received it. He was commanding them to do it, but it had not come. He said, wait for it. And not all waited. And the point is, it comes. He comes in his own good time. He comes when he wants to come, not when you say come. Because God is not your dog. The Holy Spirit is not your pigeon. You're going to call it home. And that is not how, and that's how people treat God. God, enter into my heart. I command thee. They don't say I command thee at the end, but it's like, ooh, it happened. Really, it happened? Oh, yes. How do you know? Well, I believed it happened. And that means it happened. Is that how it works? I just don't read that. You believe it happens and it happens. I don't see that in the scripture. What I see is they waited. They believed God and they waited. We will wait. The Holy Spirit will come. Just sit down here and wait. And then he came. Laying on of hands, place your hands on the sick to pray over them. That's when, as I look at it, I think, like, boy, I don't. The full depth of understanding of that, I don't know. But we touch and place our hands on the sick. We believe in that. There may be a depth of understanding of that. But I admit, I'm out of my depth on that one. Now here, the resurrection of the dead. Oh Lord. How we talk about the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead is a foundational doctrine of Christ. There's a beginning of it. And there is the finishing of it. There is simply this. We believe that Christ God raised Christ from the dead. He will also raise us up from the dead. All right? But that's already a corrupted, unfounded thing these days in most people's minds. Most people believe that when they die, well, not when they die. Most people believe that when their loved one dies, that from our time dimension, from our time perspective, that they are, like we say, oh, they're in heaven right now looking down on us. No, they're not. They are in the ground. And I've gone over this and over this. And I suppose I'll have a writing on my website at some point about it. I haven't done it yet. When the soul and spirit are divided, when the spirit returns to God, the soul is buried with the body. What if their body isn't buried? Well, then the soul is just... Remember, the soul is an idea. I love it when they try to measure the departing of the soul or the departing... You know, it's like... it doesn't... It's not a... gravitationally limited object, I don't think. Any more than, the idea of a circle. Like when I think of a circle, just the idea, it doesn't begin to fall to the ground. Neither does a soul. Soul is an idea about who you are. Not about who you are. It is an idea that is you. And I guess that's my saying. It says permission, by permission, not by commandment. But I do know this. I only answered it that way because people always ask questions beyond really what we know from Scripture. And I suppose I should be very slothful. I'm like, well, I don't know precisely the mechanics of it because it's not a mechanical thing. I know that. The soul is not a mechanical thing where it's like, well, it gets buried. I mean, as Peter put it, David is not ascended into the heavens. As John put it, there is no man ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. There is no there's no people who have gone up to heaven, which is the resurrection, that we would rise from the dead. And they have erred, saying the resurrection is already past. And that's every funeral you go to where they tell you that their loved one is in heaven. They are following after an ancient heresy, saying that the resurrection